Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. Hello, Tommy.
Hello. Our customary greeting that we've trademarked.
Yes. Hello.
I'm doing well, Tom. What's up with you?
Oh, you know, I'm doing all right. I have a couple of tales to spin for you? Is that to weave?
You know that Sonic's ultimate dream is a couple of
yes.
tails.
One night with tails. So I want to tell people right off the bat, get on this Patreon, people. It's $3 a month, and we're doing bonus episodes every week. If we were 14 patrons away from doing another Stand By Your Band, Battle of the Bands over for the patrons only. Last one we did was super fun, and when we get to 150, we're going to do another one. We're at 136 right now, maybe 137. I haven't checked in a couple days. But hopefully people aren't falling off. But bonus episodes every week, and I told Tommy before that I have a story to tell you guys that I think will inspire. It will show you how much we need your sweet cash, your measly sum of $3 a month, which is that I took a Greyhound bus last weekend.
Yes.
We got to be done with this. I can't do it
again. The worst.
It's so brutal. I did it. I was between towns. I was in New Orleans, and I needed to get to Lafayette, Louisiana, and then to Houston, Texas. And I was like, you know what? A flight from New Orleans to Lafayette is like $300 for some reason, even though it's only like a 2.5 hour drive. And I just didn't. I couldn't rent a car because you had to drop it at a different thing. It's a whole pain in the ass. And I wasn't coming back to New Orleans, so. Huge pain in the ass, and I was like, oh, Greyhound bus, it's so cheap. Look at that. I can do that for a day. Then I was like, I have all day, and then my agent was like, actually, you have a very important phone call at like 2 p.m., and I was like, well, that's fine. My bus is supposed to get in at noon. I'll have plenty of time to kill. Sure enough, I get on the old bus. It's disgusting, and they were doing COVID. There was the only seat left on the bus was this man covered in chocolate. And I only know it was chocolate.
It was the boy from Matilda. He just ate that big cake.
He had just finished that cake. He looked very ill. It did not seem like things were Trunchbull was roaming the aisles of the bus looking to beat his ass, but she did not catch up to him, unfortunately. And this dude, I know it was chocolate because I watched him eat a melted chocolate bar, and he kept doing this weird move where, you know, I don't know if you've been on a Greyhound bus recently, but you have a cup holder to your right, and he had his own cup holder. He keeps reaching over my lap to put shit in my cup holder.
Wait, what?
It was one of the most insane
moves
I've ever seen.
That's an unheard of move.
And I couldn't say, I didn't want to say anything. I was just like, fuck it, it's 2 hours, I'll be fine. Also, they had one COVID protocol on the bus, which is that the front seat of the bus was taped off and said you can't sit here because of COVID. Every other bus seat was wide open. COVID apparently knows better. It only wants that front seat.
Yes, the Delta variant likes to ride shotgun, so that's why they had to.
But then they realized they oversold the bus, and they just took that sign off of the seat. Actually, never mind. Anyway, we get to the stop that, or no, we did. We get to the first stop, which is not my stop. But the bus breaks down. I have to make a judgment call because my phone call was coming up. It was very important, and it was one where I needed them to think that I was not someone who rides a Greyhound bus. I needed them to think I was someone of rapport. And my agent was like, do not take this call on the Greyhound bus. That will be very bad. That would be a very bad look. And so the bus is 2 hours late. I have to just let the bus leave, and then I had to Uber where I was going. It was brutal. But the joke that I said about it was that I took an Uber from the Greyhound bus, which is a really dickhead move, frankly, because it's like being at a soup kitchen and being like, oh, the soup is bad. I'm going to order sushi. Like, it's because I didn't want to spend the money to take that Uber because it was a lot, but it was necessary. Anyway, get on the Patreon, people. Get us off the Greyhound. I can't be covered in. I was covered in chocolate because that dude kept reaching over me. I can't be covered in chocolate on the bus. Come on, guys. Get on this Patreon. Anyway, that's my little bitch story. And without further ado, I want to introduce our guest. You've heard her on this very show before, defending Vampire Weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Julia Clare on the show today.
Woo. Hello. Hi.
Hi, Julia. Sorry for telling that long-winded-ass story.
No, that was so... Oh, that's so painful. I felt like I was there.
Yeah, it, you know, I learned a lesson is the thing. And I pride myself on, you know, being resourceful and being, like, thrifty, but that was the end of the line for me. I'm only riding first class from now on. So that's why our Patreon's going up to $200 a month.
Yes.
Well, I had heard bits and pieces of that story, but the part that I didn't hear, which is maybe the most important, is that there was a man covered in chocolate.
And believe me, I was very careful to make sure it was chocolate before sitting down. It was fucked up. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I didn't really notice it at first, and then I was like, man, this guy has a lot of chocolate on him. It was bonkers.
Oh my god.
How are you doing, Julia? It's hot as fuck in New York right
now. It's hot as hell. Yeah. It's I only went outside once today. I went to the grocery store and it was already like 10:30 in the morning and it was already like 92 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's brutal.
Me and Tommy played basketball yesterday and immediately I was like, I am in a bad place. Yeah. This is not good. And
you guys play so much basketball.
We got to stay sharp because tryouts for the NBA are every season.
I know.
And we gotta be ready. You know.
I mean, nobody leaves it out on the court like Tommy. he leaves it all out there. I say this all the time. I love every video that Tommy posts of him playing basketball. He just goes to the hoop so hard.
You know, I appreciate that. And my key to all the aspiring ballers out there is just have nothing else going on. You will have so much time to play basketball if your life is empty.
You will get so much footage of you running around. Here's another little... So it's so hot out. We're playing basketball. I got to be honest. My diet has been very poor. Here's... So, Julia knows this, but my fiance is out of town for 2 weeks, and I am living like I'm in a sitcom where I immediately, this has been what I, the first night after she left town, I was like, oh, I should order some pizza, because, you know, I was hungry, it was late at night, and the only thing really that made sense was Domino's, and I ordered 3 pizzas from Domino's, and I was like, oh, I'll just eat this over the 2 weeks.
Oh, no!
Every day I just eat a little bit of pizza, and it's really gross. I don't like it at all. But, yeah, I was like, that's a... And I'm always like, oh, I'll do something else today. And then I get to the point where I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot to do something. I'll just eat a little bit of that pizza.
No! Oh, my God, Tom, I'm inviting you over. I can't have you live like this. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know that it was this dire.
It's not good. It's not good. We got to get Antonia back here. She would not let me do this.
No, because she has more respect for your body than you do.
Yep. It's true. It's not good. I also, really fast, before we get into what we're talking about, I feel so guilty because last night I saw you and we watched the Hawks Bucks game. Julia's diehard basketball fan and cannot get enough, so she
I do love basketball. You do? Everyone acts like I don't. I used to play. I really like basketball.
Whoa.
It feels misogynistic.
I meant no implication that you didn't like basketball.
I love basketball.
We were hanging out watching basketball, and it was a
well. When by the time I got there, you guys were just watching the four.
It was
sports
over.
Commentators.
Yeah, it was over. It was great, but. Anyway, I was wearing the very shirt I'm wearing now, which is a Surfer Blood shirt, and I was like, I jokingly said that I wore this because I thought, because you were like, oh, I love that band, and I was like, oh yeah, I wore that because you would say that. Then you were like, you did, and then I was like, no, and then I was like, I kind of did though. I mean, I put it on. I didn't put it on like that, but I was like, oh, Julie will be there. I bet she likes Surfer Blood. Because we have like the same exact taste in music.
Yes.
So I did have that thought. And then I totally threw you under the bus. And I don't know why
I did that. You bitch.
I think I was just like embarrassed that I had that thought. Like, what a pathetic thought. Maybe Julia will like this band. Who cares?
You should care. We like all the same music.
I just mean like wearing a shirt. It's like wearing the band shirt to the concert or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have Surfer Blood rules. But yeah, we have a lot of the same taste in music, and that I think brings us into the artist we're talking about today.
Oh my God,
Lucy Dacus. It is Dacus, right?
Yeah.
So I've been saying Dacus for about 20 years since she was born, and I feel like an idiot because I love her so much.
I do too. Wait, I actually might be wrong. I think it's Dacus.
To pull back the curtain, about 1 minute before we started recording, I had an absolute panic that I was, because I've always said Dacus, and I was like, maybe I'm saying it wrong. I need to find an interview with her. And I was literally like running around trying to find an interview, and every thing I clicked on said interview, but it was an article. And I was like, well, I'm fucked. so I gave up, and I'm going Dacus, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. I was really hoping there was a resolution to this.
And, you know, you click on the interview, she's just like, I'm Lucy D. And I'm like, God damn it. It's like a Seinfeld. No one knows. Yeah.
I'm Lucy, and then a train just goes by. all right, so we'll go with Dacus. I've been saying Dacus. I don't know why. I like the sound of it more, but we're going Dacus. And, I love her so much. Julia posted on Twitter months ago. I was thinking about this today because somebody tweeted, like, what's the best opening lyric to a song? I can't remember which one you picked, but as soon as I saw that prompt, I immediately thought of Lucy Dacus. I think she has the best openings of all time.
I think the one I picked was I Don't Want to Be Funny Anymore.
Yes. Right, fucking so.
And then you talked about Night Shift.
I think Night Shift has the best opening of all time.
I would agree. I would agree with you. I just think, like, I was also, because her new album just came out. Yes. And it just does feel like all of her songs are made for me specifically. Like, that is how emotionally connected I am to her music. And I get into this. I'm also, like, a really big lyrics person.
Yes, me too.
Yeah,
I think this is where we line up.
Yes. And my boyfriend Graham is lyrics blind.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit about lyrics.
And he doesn't understand he doesn't have emotional connections to things. He's kind of a robot. He has a blockhead.
Yeah.
And
yep. He's a blockhead. He's a blockhead. And you know, I wish him the best.
He was just on. We love Graham. We love our Graham.
Well, Graham has only been on once, and I've been on twice, bitch.
Twice is good.
But this is why sometimes I'll show Graham songs, and he'll be like, yeah, it's nice. I just don't, you know, like, we both were, like, talking about how much we love Night Shift, and then he listened to it, and he was like, yeah, it was nice. And it was like, what the fuck?
I got to stop the podcast. I'm going to go beat his ass right now. I'm going to get him on the basketball court, beat his ass then, and then I'm going to take him to the boxing court.
Yep.
And then take him to court. And sue his ass.
And then we're going to sue his ass.
I'm going to get him sent back to Canada. That's how mad I am right now. We should go ahead and hear some of this because I feel like now we're just teasing people. And this is an episode where I think a lot of people are not going to know who we're talking about because just based on the comments already. And I'm so thrilled that we have the opportunity to share this with people because I think that a lot of our listeners are going to like what they hear from Lucy Dacus. So do you want to hear I Don't Want to Be Funny Anymore first? I know you sent us a list, but I don't know if it's an order that you were set on hearing them in that order, or if we just jump around.
I mean, we can do them. We can jump around. I think it's I Don't Want to Be Funny Anymore is the first song of hers that I ever knew and like fell in love with. So, and it's off her first album.
I love it.
So let's do it.
Let's do it. Here's I Don't Want to Be Funny Anymore off of No Burden.
I don't wanna be funny anymore.
So fucking
good. So good. Is there room in the band? Oh, I love it. It's so good.
It's, you know what I was just thinking now, and I haven't had this thought before, but the bass guitar and the electric guitar are so heavy, and her, and it's so nice. It's such a nice contrast because her vocals are so, like, delicate. That's so, I never thought about it like that before, but
I love that
song.
That's a great, yeah, that is a great observation. It's true. It's like, it's so hard, and then you're like, oh, listen to this fucking beautiful voice. It's
listen to this angel.
Angel. Yeah, her voice is like this delicate, like, it's like a fucking flower blooming in your ears. It's great.
Yeah, she's so good, and this was one of those songs that just came up, like, years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago on my, you know, like, on my Spotify or something, and I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
And, lyrically, this song, I mean, all of her songs are amazing, but lyrically, this song speaks to me so much. It's just like such a clear description of being, you know, the funny one in a friend group, and just kind of being tired with that role.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Sure. I get it. That's how I feel with Tommy.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute.
I love the line, I got a too short skirt, maybe I can be the cute one. So good.
So good.
How the fuck does she do it? It's like, I was pissed off today because I didn't realize how young she was, and this happens to me a lot with, like, same with, like, Phoebe Bridgers, Julia Baker, where it's like, they're connecting to me so hard, and I'm a 33-year-old man. Like, this is basically our Patreon. Is for a while it was just me, Tommy, and our buddy Kevin Lopkovich talking about how these like 24-year-old girls will just sing things that are like, that's me though. Like, have we talked about Snail Mail, Julia?
Oh yeah, we must have. Yeah. I fucking love Snail Mail. Oh my god. Well, oh yeah. You know what? I didn't realize how young she was, either.
It pissed me off. It's just like, it's like every time I look, it's like, same with like Always and like, Snail Mail. I was pissed when they were somebody, because I posted on Instagram, because when I was in LA, kind of like all I listened to was that one Snail Mail album. Just every day I would listen to it. That's how I listen to music. Is that's what I'm doing with Mannequin Pussy now. It's like, I just listen to them all day, and it's all that I listen to. And now I'm doing that with Lucy Dacus again, now that the new album's out. But I just get obsessed. And then, yeah, I was listening to that Snail Mail, and then somebody goes, can you believe she's only 19 when she put that album out? And I was like, oh, God damn it. What are you talking about? I feel so stupid.
Truly horrible.
But, yeah.
It's like whenever I look up how to tie a tie on YouTube, it's always like a 14-year-old boy who goes to a boarding school who's teaching me how to do it.
You should have to leave a comment on those. This is like, thank you, daddy.
I'm like going to my wife's funeral, and I'm like, hey, little boy, how do I tie a tie?
Just picturing 90-year-old Tommy watching it.
Yeah, because some artists like read as young as they are. Like, obviously Olivia Rodrigo, like her whole vibe and her sound is like she is 17, 18, whatever. But yeah, Snail Mail was the one for me where I was like, are you kidding me? I have like felt too many emotions to their music.
I mean,
for them to be 19.
It happens with guys too, where it's like we talk about car seat headrest on we used to like that dude is young as hell, and I was pissed when I found that out. He's got these like deep ass lyrics that I'm like, how did you do this? Like with Lucy Dacus, so she's I believe 26 now. She was born in 95, and this album No Burden came out 5 years ago. So she was 21.
It's insane. Ridiculous.
That's shit that you're like, how did you come to the realization that that's who you are and be able to put it in words like this that aren't cliched or hacky, you know? There's another song
on this. That's the thing. Yeah, there are that is one of the things about her lyrics. There are no, like, cliches or hack sentiments. She is so, she's such, like, a gifted writer in articulating kind of universal feelings in a way that isn't hack.
Yeah, it's like she's coming up with brilliant idioms on the fly, like, just, like, little things that are, you're like, how is that not just part of the everyday lexicon, the phrasing that she has. It's, I want to, so you said that this is the first song that that you heard that popped up on your thing, and you were like, oh my god, what is this? That is what happened to me with the song Night Shift, although it's possible that either Tommy or Kevin played it on the Patreon before, and it just didn't. Sometimes when we listen to stuff on the Patreon, like, it's hard to hear, like, all of it, because we only listen to, like, 45 seconds or whatever, and I'm like, oh, that's good, and then I forget to write it down, and then this song popped up when I was coming back to, I was on a long drive, and Night Shift came on, and I was immediately like, what is this? Like, it's so good. So I'm gonna go ahead and put that on. This is Night Shift.
The first time I tasted somebody else's spit, I had a coughing fit. I mistakenly called them by your name. I was let down, it wasn't the same. I'm doing fine, trying to derail my one-track mind, regaining my self-worth in record time. But I can't help but think of your other in the bed that was mine.
I feel like we gotta get to the when it really kicks in part two.
Yeah, for sure.
Resisting urges to punch you in the teeth, call you a bitch and leave. Why did I come here to sit and watch you stare at your feet? What was the plan? Absolve your guilt and shake hands. I feel no need to forgive, but I might as well. But let me kiss your lips, so I know how it felt. Pay for my coffee and leave before the sun goes down. Walk 4 hours in the dark, feeling all hell.
Alright, I'll skip forward a little bit so you hear the.
Sun goes down, walk 4 hours in the dark.
So hard to know where to stop that one, because and also it's like two different songs because the way that it picks up, like you were saying, get to the, or like have that part where the guitars really come in hard, and it's like, it's so hard because it's the build to that is so cool, and you got to hear the full song. It's like a 6.5 minutes long song, so I highly recommend checking out the whole thing, because she earns this, like, just hard come in with these like blazing guitars that are, it's so cool.
A number of her songs are like that. They like really change tempo and in like a cool way, and it does feel like it feels cohesive, but it also does feel kind of like two different songs. It's really
it's good, because it's like the guitars, the way that the music pops in like that, and it just gets hard. It's like that matches the lyrical intensity from before, where she's like really soft, but and the music is kind of soft. But the thing she's saying, call, I love, call you a bitch and leave.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like, that's one of my favorite.
Resist
lines.
the urge to punch you in the teeth. Yeah. Call you a bitch and leave.
Mm-hmm. It's.
I didn't come here to watch you stare at your feet.
What was the plan? Like, absolve your guilt and shake hands. It's so
it's so good.
Good.
Like beginning to end, it's a lyrically perfect song.
It really is. I don't think I can think of a better song lyrically. I mean, that's why I said, I think out of the gate, it punches you. The song punches you in the fucking teeth. And
for
the
sure.
first time I tasted somebody else's spit, that is such a visceral... like that's just an image that you're like, that's, you can just feel all of that. And I had a coughing fit. I mistakenly called them by your name. I was let down. It wasn't the same. It's a perfect breakup song. And it's
a perfect crying alone in your car song, because especially like the opening guitar is pretty muted, and also there are no other instruments. It's just guitar at the beginning. So there's just like a lot of negative space in the song. And it's just like, it does feel like being alone in a car on a hot night, thinking about someone like that. But yeah, I love this song so much, and I haven't even like really experienced something like it, but I also... I think that that's so cool that it still makes me feel all of these feelings that I like, I can't relate to it exactly. But it's just, as you said, it's such a visceral song. It's so like everything it makes you feel is so intense. And that's why when my boyfriend said, it's just nice, I was like, okay,
I'm pissed. I've listened to it so many times. It's probably my most listened song of last year, because I just would not stop listening to it, and it never gets old to me. Even just now, I had trouble turning it off, because it's like, it's every part is so good. The line, I can't help but think of your other in the bed that was mine, and she says it so softly, and it's so heartbreaking. It's great.
Yeah. And I also, I love the like passivity of it too. Mm-hmm. I love, like, I feel no need to forgive, but I might as well.
Yes.
Like the kind of like exhaustion of that.
That's exactly it. Exhaustion.
Yeah.
Just like, fuck it. And then also, when it jumps to, let me kiss your lips so I know how it felt. It's like, oh God damn. It's just like, fuck it. I'm over it. Kind of. And then the whole print, the, you got a 9 to 5, so I'll take the night shift, so our lives are just never at the same time. It's like, it's so good. That is, that might be, it's one of my favorite songs. And it's hard to be like, this song that came out like, what, 3 years ago or something like that, is my favorite song of all time. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's up there.
It definitely is up there. And she, Lucy Dacus herself tweeted about how it was recently 5 years since she wrote the song.
Yeah.
And she was like, and it does feel like a cover.
Oh,
now.
I that's love great. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the line. I, in case you didn't hear it, because that's what we skipped to. But she says, in 5 years, I hope the songs feel like covers dedicated to new lovers. And yeah, it's like about getting, like, just letting time wash away the feelings about this person that it was so real when it happened. It's it's so good.
So good.
She's just way ahead of her. She's like wise beyond her fucking age. It's insane.
And also, we can't talk about her without talking about Boy Genius, obviously, which is the group that she is in, the super group that she is in with Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker. And I was talking to Tom about this last night, that Phoebe Bridgers is actually the last of them that I knew, that I like discovered who they were. Julian Baker was first, because I saw her Tiny Desk concert in like 2015, and she just was so incredible. And then I heard, like, a year later, I heard I Don't Want to Be Funny Anymore. And, yeah, I think that... I think Lucy is the most underappreciated of the three. Yeah. And I think that she is, like, actually the powerhouse of the cell.
She is my favorite of the three.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, you know...
I love Phoebe and Julian. Yeah.
But if
talk about young girls who make me feel so much.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Should we go ahead and hear? Because you put One Boy Genius song on the playlist, right?
Yeah, I was stuck between Souvenir and Me and My Dog, but I'm
happy with your choice. I like both those Souvenir. Songs, but I do too. I think you made the right choice.
Yeah, I love Souvenir.
Let's go ahead and hear Souvenir. This is another one that's just jam-packed with lines that are so good. And then
I know.
It's so good. All right, here's Souvenir.
The three of them together, unreal.
Insane. Little thing the guitar does here is like my favorite thing.
Sounds almost like a mandolin.
Oh, that's yeah. What is it? Is that a what is that? That
I don't know.
I love that song. It's so good. Tommy, do you know what that is?
What? It does sound like a mandolin.
Do you know what that instrument is?
Yeah.
It does. I can't tell if it's just... Yeah. Oh, shit. Sorry. I just saw your note here. I'll skip forward. We'll play
it. No, it was the part you just ended it at.
Oh, fuck.
What you just started singing.
Perfect. All right. Well, let me play that, and then we'll just... It's fine.
It's just a short song. Yeah.
Like I do.
No, no, all good.
I got lost in the song. I should have looked that up before, too.
Obviously, they're all involved.
What's that?
And obviously, all three of them are involved in every part of it, but it's just, yeah.
But that's her main, and that's my favorite part, too. It's, yeah, but I was just...
I'm obsessed with her voice. Yeah. I'm obsessed with her voice. The tone of it is so, like, rich and warm and clear. I love her so much, and yeah, all three of them are like lyrical powerhouses in their own right.
That line, when you cut a hole into my skull, do you hate what you see like I do?
Brutal. So I've talked about this on the show before, but I saw Point Genius live, and it was like top three shows I've ever been to in my whole life. And the whole show is on Brooklyn Steel, so if you're liking what we're listening, the whole show is on YouTube from Brooklyn Steel. Pitchfork.
Oh shit, really?
Thing. Oh my god.
So it's like one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to, and you can just watch
what?
If you want.
No, that's so true. I think I have watched it, and I've also because I did go down a hole of all the videos of the three of them live together. I definitely have seen that. And I think they did a longer set on KEXP. Mm-hmm. That is also so good, and I do love, I love all three of them. I think that this song is like so devastating in so many different layered ways.
You know what line I always get stuck on though is because I think it's probably Phoebe Bridgers' part. It's the part where she's like, "I always managed to move in
right next to
cemeteries, never far from hospitals." I don't know what that says about me, and it's like, I don't know what that says about you either. Like, what does that say about you? Like,
what does that tell you about me? I don't know. Some weird stuff.
You got a weird real estate agent.
A spooky real estate agent. It's crazy, though, if you think about, because they did all that stuff. They did all the Boy Genius stuff. They put out the EP. Every song's great. And then the albums that each of them came out with afterwards in the last couple of years are all their best albums. I mean, that's debatable, but it seems like them working with each other just like made them all better in a way.
They've said as much.
Yeah. It's probably some like, I mean, there's got to be some like competitive spark too, where you're like, oh, I'm surrounded by such talented people, and it makes you raise your bar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can I share in a safe space that I didn't love Julian's latest album?
Oh, you didn't? Damn, I really
have not really listened to it that much. Yeah, I put it on once. It didn't stick for me, but I wanted to try it again.
Yeah, and also I think she's like, she's trying some things vocally that are a little distracting. But yeah, I loved Phoebe's. Phoebe's last album,
Punisher,
so good. And Lucy's album is incredible too. But I will, I completely agree. Every song in the Boy Genius EP is a hit.
Yeah.
Me and My Dog is also so good. I love. It's a very lyrically complicated song.
Yeah.
When that also has one where when it really kicks in, it's like, damn, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It makes you want to scream.
And you get to hear Phoebe Bridgers belt, which you usually don't. Mm-hmm. And she does it.
Yeah.
She can do it.
By the way, that song I just read, I didn't know this before. That was a Julian Baker song that she brought, but she didn't show it to them for the first couple days of them working together because she didn't think they would like it. The song Souvenir.
Oh, wow.
And it's like,
oh my God.
It's one of my favorite songs of all time, but also it is my favorite song of what they put together. So good. All right.
I mean, Julian is like an incredible lyricist, incredible writer.
Yeah. I like her sound, like her voice a lot too. We've talked about it on the show, but she does a Jawbreaker cover that's like, I like it more than the original of, oh shit, which song was it? It doesn't matter. Just look.
Oh,
up
I forgot to bring this up, but Lucy Dacus also does an incredible cover of "Dancing in the Dark."
Yes,
The Bruce Springsteen song.
That's interesting.
And it's so good.
I gotta check that.
I have to bring something up because I just found it out before the show. Is that Lucy Dacus has one very interesting fan, and it's Tim Kaine, former vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine. In September 2016, Tim Kaine said in an interview that Dacus was a new favorite. In a 2019 interview, Dacus revealed she attended kindergarten with Kaine's daughter, and she considers him to be an old family friend. So that is an insane fact that I had to bring in at some point.
That is so weird.
I know. It's just bizarre. But
That feels like a name out of like a bad dream.
It's like, some might say it is.
I do think that if more people knew about the connection, we might not have had those Trump years. I think
we would have.
I don't think
they would have. People would have been like, "I'm with her," but they meant Lucy Dacus. They're supporting Tim Cade because he's a Lucy Dacus fan, and they're wearing "I'm with her" shirts.
Oh, that would be a great merch. "I'm with her" parentheses Lucy Dacus.
Lucy Dacus.
Oh my god, I would buy that. I am 100% serious. I would buy that.
"I'm with her" parentheses Lucy Dacus. Vote for Tim Cade. vote for Tim Cade, which means vote for Hillary Clinton. It's the most complicated
shirt.
It's
a long shirt.
It's a really long shirt. Everyone hates it.
Yeah, you get down far enough, eventually you've alienated every person.
Oh, that's so funny. What a fun fact. That is a fun fact. I looked up Lucy Dacus fun facts. That was not on there, and I'm kind of pissed.
Well, unless some crazy Tim Cade fan edits her Wikipedia and just was like trying to force it.
That is so funny to have on your Wikipedia. That's beautiful. All right. Okay, well, shall we hear another song? Let's go backwards before we go to the new album, because two songs are from the new album.
Yeah.
And I kind of
the last
like,
one is Yours and Mine.
Yes. So I kind of like doing a little bit chronological. So from so Night Shift is from the album Historian, as is this song Yours and Mine. Here is Yours and Mine.
I forgot about that one. It's so good.
I think that's part of the reason why I picked it, because I think it gets lost in the shuffle of a lot of her songs, and it's so, and it's kind of that thing that I was talking about before, that it's like two different songs. Mm-hmm. And also I love that the up-tempo part is almost like a little honky-tonk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so, it's, I was trying to think of the song that it reminded me of, but it was like some pop country song that it reminded me of a little bit. I think she does a really good job, like seamlessly genre mixing. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. That song gets me fired up.
Yeah.
Give me one second. Sorry, I'm going to the Yankees game tonight, and I've got now those all these logistics.
But yeah, I think and the way she does the breaks in that song is so cool. Just those little moments before it kicks in. It's just like really well written and produced.
And also she's vocally so gifted as well. I just think she has the coolest voice. I love a woman with a low register. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, why is that? Where did you get that
sounds
idea?
So I love that too. Like I really can't sing a lot of, I don't even try to sing a lot of Phoebe's stuff because her voice is too high.
It's very tough.
But
this is,
I feel comfortable in Lucy's register.
During the pandemic, when I was dreaming of things opening back up, and specifically Cobra Club karaoke, which I will be, doing Cobra Club on Friday, and ooh, I think the karaoke is back, and I remember just dreaming of like singing Lucy Dacus songs, and then I thought about it at the end, and I was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to do that.
Can you imagine doing all 6 minutes of Night Shift? As people leave the room one by one.
I definitely still want to do it. This is why Antonia's karaoke nights are great, because it's like you kind of can be self-indulgent. It doesn't matter. But it's, that is like one of those things that's such a pandemic dream where I was like, when the world opens back up, I'm going to do it all. Half-minute Lucy Dacus song that will bum everyone out and be like, and people will be like, who the fuck is this weirdo doing this?
He's just like shouting between lyrics, like, did you hear that part? Did you listen to hear that line?
Check out these lyrics.
Wait, let me turn the screen to you guys because I know it. But you should read
it. I know. You guys need to learn a thing or two. Okay, we have two more songs here, and they're both off of the new album, which is Home Video. It's really good, and the first one we heard, actually, were both of them singles? I can't remember.
There were like four singles for this album.
There was a lot.
They were both singles.
That's what I thought. Okay, so.
But I think VBS was before Hot and Heavy.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Let's go ahead and hear VBS then. Do you mind if we play Hot and Heavy first? Just cause
I mean, Hot and Heavy is the first
track
off the album.
Off the album, so I think that it's,
and it's great.
Yeah, it's so good. All right, here is Hot and Heavy.
Being back here makes me hot in the face. Hot blood in my pulsing veins. Heavy memories weighing on my brain. Hot and heavy in the basement of your parents' place. You used to be so sweet. Now you're a firecracker on a crowded street. Couldn't look away even if I wanted. Try to walk away, but I come back to the start.
I love that line.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Also, that ending, the bells that come in.
I'm going to skip forward a little bit here. Oh, I love this part too. Yeah, we can listen to more of it.
The production value on this album is clearly like up. From Historian. The thing that I listened to this song so many times, and when the like the bells come in, like doo 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 doo, it reminded me so much of like Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah, yeah.
And a little bit of like maybe Keane.
Oh yes,
definitely.
Yeah, I remember Keane. That was Vice President, right?
Yes.
Keane. Yes. I was very obsessed with Keane for a minute, and there was like one album I remember. They did SNL, and that's how I found them. And I was like a high school like softy, and Somewhere Only We Know.
Only We Know. Yeah.
I mean that song. I was actually thinking about that song today for this reason. That song is undeniable.
Oh yeah, it's a great song.
It's a great song.
I think it was weird that SNL had them host and musical guest. Like, I get that having them perform, but like they weren't that funny.
Certainly weren't funny. They were not that. They didn't seem to be that big at the time. But SNL was really drawing its straws.
I've had like a very bad phase lately. So last week, my favorite music writer is this guy Stephen Hayden, and he put out an article last week where he. Well, first of all, he was talking about Lucy Dacus a lot, and he said something similar to what you just brought up, where he said he always thought she was the best writer of the three of Boy Genius, and he was like, this album is the first one where the production like really caught up to how good of a songwriter she is, which I totally agree with, and I think that's so true. But also, he wrote something about Death Cab for Cutie recently, and I've been getting, every time I'm like drunk walking home now, I listen to Death Cab for Cutie, and it's very, it's a bad habit, and I have
to
stop.
Dude, we need to do a Death Cab episode. It's insane.
Have you guys not done, have you not done a Death Cab episode?
No, a couple people had pitched it early on, but we didn't want to make it like an early episode, because we started the podcast like 4 years ago, and it feels like even in that 4 years, somehow Death Cab has like rang corny, where I didn't feel like that 4 years ago. I thought that they still had a lot of hip cred. Like, it just, it seemed like they, because they, I feel like their last album, the Narrow Stairs album, maybe got like good enough reviews that I was like, I don't know if they fit. And then now I feel like we're at a point where
we could definitely
do
it. Yeah.
And I'm curious, because I think about that sometimes. They were like, they were another band that I went through a phase of like, this is all I listen to is Death Cab. Mm. So it would be fun to do that. I would love to.
Yeah,
do
I said it last week. I saw them three times in a year once. Like, I was so all in on Death Cab, and I feel very embarrassed walking around like screaming along to Sound of Settling.
I was listening to them last
Hell
night.
Hell yeah!
Oh shit!
Yeah, on my walk over.
That's wild. Look at that. They're in the air. Mm-hmm. I just want to really fast say, so Hot and Heavy, great song. As soon as it came like as a single, I was like, I am all in on this. It's a great song for summer. It's got like a fun, upbeat thing going in. This is nostalgic, being a kid, like a coming of age like kid who's like, you know, starting to have the hormones cooking or whatever. But this is a song where she so easily, when I heard the way she framed this lyrically, I was like, I can't believe that this doesn't feel cliche at all. Just describing this person, you were always, I love that. How did I believe I had a hold on you? You were always stronger than people suspected, underestimated and overprotected. It's so good. So good.
She did a Pitchfork interview where they kind of asked her what each song is about, and to kind of paraphrase, she said she started writing this about like an old friend that she grew apart from, and then she kind of realized that she was actually writing it about herself, which I thought was really interesting. But she kind of kept it third person because she says she never feels comfortable talking about herself like that. So I thought that was really interesting.
That. Yep. Mm.
Wow.
That's so good. Oh, also,
one of her songs on the album is like, is a third person perspective where like she's a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah.
I was listening to that on the way to Graham's last night. It's so good. But yeah, that's a weird.
Oh, I think that one's Thumbs.
What's that?
I think that's Thumbs.
Oh,
the song Thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah, that's a weird one. Let me just hear that for a second.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah, this song fucked me up.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a hard song for me to listen to because it's you know, I hate my father. Like any father figure I've ever had in my life is a piece of shit. So it's like that one. Check that one out. I can't listen to it right now, but it's good. It's just about a deadbeat dad who comes to town and expects to be treated like.
And she put like it's like in the third person, and she is like playing the, or she's speaking as the mother of this like adult child.
Mm-hmm.
And the chorus is, "I would kill him if you let me.
I would press
kill him
my,
quick and easy."
Yeah, I would kill him quick and easy. And it's like it's like I've expressed similar things about family members. So I was like, this is too this is like a lot.
One song that is too close to home for Tom to another that is too close to home for me.
Yes, let's do it. So this next song, the last song on the playlist, is VBS. Let's hear VBS. And VBS is, of course, a K-pop group.
Vacation Bible School.
Oh, I thought it was for Vanga Boys. That's what I thought.
All right, here we go. In the summer of 07, I was sure I'd go to heaven, but I was hedging my bets at VBS. A preacher and a teacher told me I could be a leader, taught me how to build a fire and to spread. So hard to turn it off with her because it's like every line is so good.
It's this whole song. Well, when the minute I heard the opening lyrics, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, this is about me specifically. I was a Bible teen as well, and I. When I tell you, the visceral reaction I had to this song was overwhelming. I think every line in the song is perfect. And I think if you're comparing... Again, her lyrics are so... They're, like, clear, but they're subtle. You know, it's like... You know how I will follow you into the dark? Mm-hmm. It's, like, pretty... Kind of hits you over the head.
Yeah.
It's, like, very obvious. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a similar situation, but it's so much more poetic.
Yeah. It's rich,
and
yeah.
I mean, there's like obviously the message of it all and the sentiments expressed are so good. But then you also have some like, you know, sedentary secrets like peach pits in your gut, locked away like jam jars in the cellar of your heart. Like, fuck me up. I I don't know. And then, you know, talking about, like, what she's talking about is Christianity, mm-hmm. and this particular kind, like, Vacation Bible School is particular to, like, evangelical Christianity, and, you know, her saying, like, you say that I showed you the light, but all it did in the end was make the dark feel darker than before, yeah. and that's, like, so, that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. No, that is some good ass writing. I also love, it's just a, like, a sweet, but also, like, I love your poetry was so bad. Yeah. It took a lot.
It took
not
a
to
lot
laugh.
To not laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to write poetry in grade school? Did you guys have to do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I like had mine saved for a long time for some reason in my house. Mm-hmm. And it was like literally the most humiliating thing you could ever do.
Can I tell you?
I want to read. Oh, no. I want to read your poetry.
Well, I'll tell you. The collection was called "Welcome to My Web of Lies," and I was about maybe 11 or 12 when I wrote that. So I don't know what lies I was telling, but it was a true story. And there was a drawing of a spider web on it.
Oh my God! 100%
true.
That is incredible.
Oh my God.
Fuck, that's the hardest one. Welcome to my web. Mine's bad because I was in high school when I wrote this, but I also had a little book of poetry. I have two poetry things. I can't remember if I've told this story on the podcast before, but just in case, I'll make it quick, which is that I wrote a collection of poems. And I named it Swallowed in the Sea, which is a Coldplay
yeah,
song.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Coldplay song off of X and Y. Very sappy. And then I also saved it where I, like, in my first college apartment, I had my poetry and my short stories hanging on my walls. I, like, printed them out on paper and I like had them all over my walls. It was so pathetic. And then I also they made us write poetry in one of my classes in middle school, and they said I got a letter in the mail saying that my poem was to be featured at a poetry reading, and I was like all honored, and it turned out that they had sent that message to like all the kids who submitted.
No.
And so I showed up to a Borders bookstore and read. This woman was like doing this really like heartfelt poetry shit. Like there was like adults. It was all adults. I was the only kid who showed up. And then I read my poem, which was just a play on words about basketball. I was like, I travel, but I stay on the court. Like,
I hope you were wearing like a beret and a black turtleneck.
I wish it was. I was like, I did picture. I was like, I guess this is gonna be my life now. Like, this is the first place that's accepted me, and then it was really, really embarrassing.
Wow.
All right, that is the playlist. We do have one more segment to get to. Jared did not have thoughts. He doesn't know about Lucy Day because I told him today that he needs to listen to her. As I said, you don't have any thoughts on Lucy Dacus, right? And he said, none, period.
Harsh.
And, yep, harsh. He doesn't know who, he didn't know who she was, though, but now he will. All right, so as always, we go to the Peanut Gallery to get their thoughts on who we're talking about. I posted that we're on Patreon that we're talking Lucy Dacus with Julia Clare. He said, I had not heard much of her. JV says, I had not heard much of her work until I decided to check out the new record a few days ago. I'm in love with it. Thumbs was so upsetting and relatable that it almost made me resent Lucy for having written it, but I can pretty much guarantee I'll be going back to that song for the rest of my life. Plus, the extremely endearing end to Going, Going, Gone helped soothe the hurt. Anyways, one of my favorite records of the year, and I look forward to getting into her other stuff. Sorry that I don't have any cool porta potty sex stories this time. Thank you for that last time, JV. And that is, I mean, Thumbs is, like I said, it's a lot. And I really love the song. Nick Clerkin writes, Lucy, da fuck is that?
What the hell?
Somebody who doesn't know who Lucy Dacus is. And Dan Clark writes, Hot and Heavy is a perfect summer song.
Yeah, it really is.
Do we have any on the Twitter, Tommy?
There's a couple, yeah. Payden says, Lucy has an incredible ability to make her music simultaneously intensely intimate, but universal enough to resonate with nearly everyone. No matter who you are, you can apply her songs to fit your own life and experiences. Which was a great comment. And Tyler Snodgrass, friend of the show, wrote, yeah. She's great. Finally, someone singing about VBS. So I guess he must have done it. Yeah. And again, I do think that it is about the Venga bus, which is coming.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And everyone is jumping. New York everyone to San Francisco.
Also, I love your poetry was so bad, it took a lot to not laugh, is so good because it just makes me think about how, like, a lot of Christian music is really bad. And yes. We, like, and you're just kind of expected to not comment on that. Right. When you're evangelical, you're just supposed to be like, wow, what a gift to the Lord.
The Lord will be returning that one.
Yeah.
That's really funny. We have a few comments here on the Facebook. George Gordon, friend of the show, says, can't wait to listen. Ethan Masters says, Lucy Dacus is such a jam. I didn't know about her until I saw her collaboration with her, Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker, and Boy Genius. I listen to her when I'm riding my bike or walking around outside. Those are two ways to listen to music.
Absolutely.
If you want to be sad and look outside your apartment building smoking weed and drinking tea, which for me personally makes me throw up, but it's worth it, she's your artist. All right, that's a lot there, Ethan.
I would if I wasn't low T.
Jay Tanner says her new album is great. That's all I got. Well, that's all you needed.
Hell
to
yeah.
Mitchell Potts says, great lyricist, great voice. She fucking rules.
Totally. She really does.
No better way to put it.
Keep going. I just had to say this because I just remembered that I was mad about it. The fact that the Pitchfork didn't give it Best New Music, fuck off. Made
me
so
mad.
No.
Oh, that's.
They gave it a good rating, but it was just like, just do the damn thing.
Would they go to like 7.8?
I think it was like a 7.6 maybe. Yeah.
I hate that.
Her album the new album did just crack the top 40 in the UK.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
It's her first
awesome.
top 40 record.
7.7.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Last one I'll say here is Kristen Lundy says, OMG, I love Lucy. She's great for melancholic apartment cleaning playlists. So true.
I love Lucy.
Wow, that is so... That's so true.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. That's what you got to use her for.
You're sad and you need to clean?
You got to clean.
You got to clean. You got to do it anyways.
Yeah, you got to do it anyways. You might as well throw on some Lucy. All right, that wraps up the peanut gallery. We're at our last segment here, which I don't even think we need to rate this playlist. I don't think that makes any sense. But what we will do is let you give your final thoughts on Lucy Dacus, Julia. What do you got?
Okay. I feel, and this is going to sound really overstated, but I do feel that my life is richer for knowing her music.
Oh, yeah.
I do feel like she makes music specifically for me, but as has been pointed out, like a lot of people feel an intense connection with her music. I just happen to be like, a former Bible teen who feels weird about sex as she expresses. I can't wait to see what she keeps making. I think it's like, as we said, she is upsettingly young and she like the album that she makes when she's 30, I can't fucking imagine how good it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think well put. And I'm excited to find that out as well. Is she coming to Brooklyn anytime soon?
Oh, I don't know.
We have to go if she is.
We should go. Yeah. We'll do a Patreon live report after from the line. But I just want to say, because I thought of this joke, that call us Ricky Ricardo, because we love Lucy.
Oh, my God.
There it is. I think that's a great way to end this episode. We love Lucy. And she does have some splaining to do. How is she so young and so talented? All right, Julia, thanks so much for being on the show. Is there anything you'd like
thanks
to promote
for having me.
On the way out here?
You can find me on Twitter at @OJuliaTweets, @OHJuliaTweets. And I have a podcast called Reply Guys with Kate Willett, mm-hmm. who is another comedian.
Hell yeah.
We talk about political stuff, if you're into that.
Get in
if
there.
Not,
I mean, we gave
God
the
bless.
People a taste of political humor today.
Absolutely.
I think the crossover episode worked out well. And this is great.
Oh my God. I'm on Lucy Dacus's website, and she has I Love Lucy merch.
Oh, there you shit.
Go. Mm-hmm. That's sick.
But we she doesn't have that. I'm With Her yet, so we have something to pitch her if
I
we
think
meet her.
We got to make this shirt. I think we show up to her live shows. We set up our own merch table.
Artists love when you do that. They're like, that's so cool. You're making money off
Wait,
me.
She might be the only artist I've ever seen whose merch includes turtlenecks.
Oh, wow.
And
wow, that's so funny. That is perfect.
That's so
that is on.
Deeply me. That is so, so this funny. This is only further proving that she and I, we would be friends, I think.
I love it. I think you're right. All right, guys, we got to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. Get on the Patreon. It's only $3 a friggin' month. And come to Good God at the Sultan Room July 7th. Tommy and I will be in Boise, I think in September.
September, like 23rd to 25th, yeah.
Yeah, so come to that. We're doing a live Stand By Your Band and some stand-up and stuff. And, yeah, Tommy, anything else?
Me and Luke Moniz are doing another show at Union Hall in July 23rd. First one sold out, and I would love to do that again. So come to that.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks again, Julia. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Bye.